Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 2nd, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I am good. And I also have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I'm fired up.
I know. Okay, so what I should have done as soon as I got all of us together was just started recording because you guys just jumped in and I couldn't get you to shut up long enough for me to play the music so we could actually start doing the show. all right, so what everyone has been missing out on is the back and forth rant that John and Kelly have been having about the problems that people are experiencing with iCloud Music Library, which is a new feature that comes with iTunes 12.2 and works with Apple Music. So it's like iTunes Match, if you're familiar with that from previous versions of iTunes, that lets you take your music library and store it online so you can access it anywhere. Here's the problem that people are having. If you update to iTunes 12.2 and then you enable iCloud Music Library, people, not everyone, but a lot of people are having a problem where their music library just gets scrambled. All the metadata gets jumbled up between everything that's in there. So you could have album art from one album showing up for a different album. And you go to play a song and you read the name of the song and you click play and it plays a different song. So people are having trouble like that. So their entire music library is getting trashed because none of the information matches up. So you have no idea what you're looking at or what you're going to be playing. And then the other problem that people are coming up against is, or will be coming up against as soon as they decide that they're not going to use Apple Music, is that if you're using iCloud Music Library, all the music that you are storing there, including your own music that you rip from CD, gets copy protection, digital rights management, copy protection, Fair Play in this case, because that's Apple's version. Mm-hmm. All your music gets wrapped in that. So now you have DRM on music that you already own from other sources. That means that if you stop using Apple Music at some point in the future, you're now locked out of those songs.
Because listeners, you can suspect that this got us fairly wound up in the pre-show.
Which is why I had to just throw down the hammer and get everyone to stop long enough so I could play the intro music so we could jump back into this. So anyhow, now we have the basic overview. So all of our listeners are caught up, and
now Jeff's done talking.
Pretty much at this point, all I have to do is say so. Now you guys have the background story. John, Kelly, what do you think?
I have two really important questions about this entire thing. Number one, does anyone at Apple actually use iTunes all day, day to day, the way I wish I could, except it drives me insane? And number two, I understand that with a large project like this, and they rolled it out to everybody at once. I know I actually got some messages this week from people in Canada who were excited because there has been no streaming service available to them before now. There really isn't anything else available. So this is the first time they've had any opportunity, and that's very exciting. So I understand that this went out to a whole lot of people all at the same time, and I understand that there could be some issues with that, but actually going in and inserting DRM on music that didn't have it initially just seems like a terrible... Whatever situation caused that, it seems like that's not a thing that should have been allowed to happen. So my real question here is what Apple's answer is going to be for people who are caught up in this. And I really hope it's not...
everything's wonderful.
You should have had a time... You should have had Time Machine. Like, yeah, I really hope that's not the answer.
Apple's attitude is everything's cool. We don't see a problem. And, these are just one-off cases.
Now, I don't know if that's Apple's attitude. No. I'm wondering if Apple's attitude is, no one say a thing, and let's just see if
until this, we know.
Yeah, and see if this explodes or not. My guess is that Apple added in this copy protection, and this is something Adam Christensen brought up also when we were chatting with him earlier, before the show, and it's that this could be one of those last-minute concessions Apple had to make to get the deals that it needs with all the different artists and labels. So adding DRM...
Oh, I'm sure this is some sort of concession to somebody somewhere.
Yeah, because Apple has been very anti-DRM from the beginning. I mean, that they made it clear when they first started iTunes. They didn't want... Or iTunes Music at the time. That... Or actually, it was iTunes Music Store. Well, mostly Pedantic. Anyhow, they made it clear that they didn't want to have DRM.
And how did they do that? The slogan was "Rip, Mix, Burn."
Right, and then when they got the whole music store thing opened, and there's DRM, they didn't want it there, but they had to have it to get the deals. Later on, they were able to get that stripped out. And then they even went so far as to take the songs we had already purchased and give us new versions without DRM.
Yeah, but there's something called fair disclosure. You know, you can't just get everybody all excited about this music and tout all its features and everything and then have these hidden gotchas, because there's nothing worse than buyer's remorse, right? You go out and get this big service and everything's cool, and then you find out there's gotcha this and there's gotcha that.
Oh, sure.
Well, to be fair, and I know this is a bit of a stretch, but to be fair, Apple made it pretty or relatively clear that this is something we would have to deal with in the updated terms of service for Apple Music and iTunes 12.2. Dave Hamilton went through all of
that. That's true.
And he found the line where it says that you can't burn any of the content that's in Apple Music.
Not even your own.
It just says... Any content.
Okay. So I think what happened here, and I'm not saying that it's okay, and I'm not trying to give Apple a pass. I'm just trying to understand. And I think what happened here was that, and I'm sure everybody has been in this situation, or at least been on the receiving end of this situation before, and that is that there was a business deal made, and now there needs to be technical execution on that deal. And at some in some way, there was some sort of disconnect or... it was something that got maybe rushed through testing, and so it got some basic testing, but it turns out that there's a really common use case that somehow didn't come up when they were just making sure that it didn't brick iTunes on the way out the door. So I have a feeling it's something like that, which, like I said, doesn't make it right. I'm not okay with this. This is the first moment that I have actually been glad that I was... what I thought was the only person who never bothered with iTunes Match. I just decided I would buy a bigger phone and swap out the music on it regularly so that I would be able
to... That's
what
I do. Yeah. Same here, Kelly.
Because, well, and part of it is just a matter of logistics. We like to take... I live in Portland. You guys know that. We like to take trips to the Oregon coast, and there's a stretch where it's completely dead, and that means devoid of radio signal and devoid of cellular signal. And so I can't get any music on the radio. And if I'm streaming anything, you can tell because it starts to skip and then it just finally ups and quits. And so if you don't have a local solution, there's a really quiet half hour as you go over the Coast Range before you get to the stuff on the other side where you get reception again. And there's a stretch of the Columbia Gorge when I go visit my family that is the same way. So I've never been a super duper proponent of streaming services, even stuff like satellite radio. It doesn't reach these places. So I've always been a local music person, and I always sort of went, it would really be great if it was possible for me to most of the time use iTunes Match and be able to just have access to all my stuff if I really wanted to. And now I'm kind of glad I don't. And it's because I have a whole lot of music that is not in iTunes even today, that I have ripped from CDs that I have purchased, and I would be flipping out right now. Even if I had a backup, I would still be flipping out right now that something happened in iTunes that stomped through my music library and screwed everything up. Because the first reason I didn't sign up for iTunes Match is because I'm way over the limit with my library. So I really didn't want that to happen. And yeah, I do backup. And so if something were to happen, I would be able to restore from that backup. But at the same time, I shouldn't have to. This is another one of those moments when, you know, this is going to be the kind of thing that fanboys are going to talk about because, oh, you tell me everything from Apple just works. And we're really not there anymore.
Now, these projects are getting too big. It almost reminds me of Obamacare. You got millions of people trying to do the same thing at the same time. And you got systems being crushed under the load. The politics of it, that you have to roll it out at the same time. The big projects aren't using the spiral approach where you roll out a little bit and you roll out a little bit and you test it and you test it. No, it's got to be a big fanfare. And it's okay when you bring out a new version of OS X in 2007 and it's great and it's cool and you got cool new features. But when you're rolling out this much stuff to this many people who've got an investment in their music and you do it all at once, you're in for a big problem. And all big projects, any sufficiently large software project is borked because of politics and because of size and because of the variations in the user profiles. Apple's got to give this up.
I wish they had tiered the rollout. Like first we got the new version of iTunes.
Right.
And anybody who was having trouble with, and then first of all, give us 12.2 and then give us 12.2.1 with iCloud Library or whatever they're calling it for music library. And then after that, give us the Beats One and the streaming service just to make sure everything is solid. Because, I mean, I wrote an article about how iTunes needs to break up with itself and it needs to split off into these other pieces. And flying in the face of that, Apple just went and added a bunch more stuff to iTunes. And it's cracking under the strain. Like, I can't think of a more obvious thing to do here. What I really want to know is how Apple is going to help people who have been caught in this issue. Like, is there a way for Apple to go back on their servers and, you know, revert to a previous version of that person's library or what?
How do you stress test a system like this? There's something called stress testing.
Yeah.
And how do you stress test something that you're going to roll out as a surprise?
Well, what we used to do, what I used to do when, and granted, it's nowhere on the scale of Apple's, but when I used to have stress testing like this, I would do friends and family, and I would, you know, I would tell everybody that worked there, because we did this at some startups. So you go do it, get your sidekick to do it, and then also see if you can get another member of your family. And I've now tripled my user base just from the number of people I work with. If each of them get two other people, then I've now tripled my base. Or, you know, if you have an extra computer at home, do the same thing there just to make sure that everything's going to work the way it should. And, you know, and do it all kind of at this particular time just to make sure that if we're going to melt a server, we know about it before anything else. And then I was working with a team of people who were able to take those numbers and then project and go, yeah, we've got, you know, this kind of limit and we're not going to hit that limit, so we're good right now. Or, oh my God, that's going to take down everything in the server room. We really need to rethink some architecture here. And I've had both of those situations happen. So I would imagine if you worked at Apple, you probably know a lot about what's going on, no matter what department you're in. You probably knew a little more definitively and a little sooner that there was going to be a streaming service coming. So being able to take an entire department of Apple people, take a whole building and go, hey, could you guys spend the next hour hitting this server and playing this music and using your iTunes Match library and just let fly so we can see what happens.
Yeah, but Kelly, you're talking about a few hundred people. The stress testing needs to be in the hundreds of thousands of people.
And it is now.
You know, it's sort of like in the 50s, I recall, there were these mottos on TV where people were getting hit by trains, and it said, you know, when you get to a railroad track, stop, wait, and listen. That would be my advice to people now when Apple rolls out these giant services. Stop, read a lot, think about your strategy. What do you want to do? Are you backed up? What part of this do you want to engage in, and what do you want to not engage in? And, you know, read Mac Observer and find out what's going on.
I would go with stop, backup, listen.
You can't turn on these giant services and just, you know, upload hundreds of tens of thousands of photos or match, you know, your entire 5,000 songs in your library and expect everything to go well. It just isn't going to work.
No, well, and Apple has a very proven track record with cloud-based services. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good track record.
No, it's not.
No. But remember, it is well proven.
Remember when Steve Jobs flew off the handle about, what was it, .Mac?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was. Man. And he was absolutely right to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, the gist of it is he asked the .Mac team, so what is .Mac? And they rattle off all the features. And
that it's supposed to have.
That it's supposed to have. And then I'm paraphrasing here. He says, why doesn't it do that?
Why doesn't it do it? Yes.
Yeah. He was a little more colorful in his original expression. For those of you who don't think that's quite the story you remember.
Right.
He was very colorful in his expression about that and was very unhappy because all of the things that they had said that it was supposed to do, it actually did not do.
You know, one of the things that happens.
So this goes all the way back that far. I just want to hold on a second, John. I just want to make sure you guys know it goes back that far. Steve and .Mac and .Mac. .Mac was free. iTools was the initial incarnation, and iTools was free. It was in 98, maybe 1998, 99, right in there. They came out with iTools, and you could get a .Mac, a Mac.com email address. And then iTools became .Mac, and .Mac is the part that investigated a little bit more cloud service aside from just email. There were more things you could do with it. And that was the point when it turned out to be a complete disaster. And I'm just realizing in doing that math that I've now had my email address for about 16 years.
Good times.
Yeah, well, Kelly, you get into a momentum process here. Maybe called an encore process. When a small company has small ambitions, it does small things. Mm-hmm. When you're a big company and you're pulling in $200 billion a year, you do big things. Mm-hmm. And so what do you
and
do after
awesome.
You have a big failure? Do you go back to small things? No. You just sort of stumble and surge on to the next big failure because you're a big company that does big things. This is dangerous.
I wouldn't go back to small,
this is very
but
dangerous.
I wouldn't go back to small things, but I would maybe go slightly less big things. And
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
the reason that a lot of people have gone from zero to rage quit on anything to do with Apple Music at this point is because when I make a mistake, I learn from it. When you're a very small person, you see that the coils on the stove are red instead of black, and you think that's very interesting, and you've never seen that before, and so you go touch it, and you find out that the red ones will hurt you. They're hot. And so then you have learned from that mistake. You made the mistake of touching an active burner, and now you are paying for that mistake, but you learned from that mistake. So now, the next time you see that burner is red, you go, ooh, that's hot. It will hurt me. And you stop touching it. And I want Apple to get to the point where they realize that when you put your hand on the burner every time, you're going to come away with a burn mark every time. And I feel like we're the ones that are getting scorched by all of this. And so, you know, it's funny, like I will have a conversation occasionally with somebody. I have had it many times, but it comes up every so often where someone goes, well, why don't you use, you know, whatever cloud service, or why don't you use iTunes Match, or why didn't you move everything up to Photo Library? And I'm
exactly.
like, Apple. And I said, you know, and it's like, I put my hand on the Apple stove and I learned my lesson back in the iTools days before years started with two. And I'm sad. It's sad to me that one of two things has happened. Either things like this have come out with rough edges and been uncomfortable and been hard on some people and flat out not worked for some people, let's be honest. And Apple has either A, not learned from that experience, or B, found a completely different way for things to screw up in the future. And I find that really disappointing.
Well, Apple not learning from the experience is a result of this idea that we're successful and we do a lot of cool things and people love our products. And so Apple keeps surging forward without that kind of introspection that you're talking about, Kelly. And it's starting to worry me quite a bit. And I agree with you on my personal philosophy is I take a hard look at these strategies and try to decide about what do I need to know and experiment with so that I can write about it, mm-hmm. and what do I not need? What is it that I'm not urgently needing to do right now because it's risky, it's dangerous, it's I don't need it, and I don't need to write about it right away. So there's it's a double-edged sword.
Absolutely.
It is. Okay, so we have spent the last 20 minutes wailing and gnashing our teeth, and we're out of time. So what I want to do is wrap up with a little tip for people to hopefully help avoid the headaches that we're warning them about right now. And this is, for now, if you have enabled iCloud Music Library and you're not having problems, go ahead and shut it off. And if you're not sure if it's running, here's how you can make sure it's not running. So grab your iPhone real quick, everyone, and tap on Settings, then scroll down to Music, tap on that, and then from there, you'll see all your different settings, and one of them says iCloud Music Library. Just make sure that's disabled for now, and that's it. That should protect you from having iCloud Music Library issues, and hopefully none of you have been burned by this, but there are plenty of people out there who have. And it looks like, for now, the only fix, if you have been burned by the iTunes 12.2 bug and the whole iCloud Music Library thing, is to roll back to a backup that you have of your music library from before you enabled iCloud Music Library. Which isn't exactly the answer you want to hear, but it's the only answer we have for the moment. Right. And if Apple does something that makes us all better, of course, we're going to let you know.
So let's be careful out there, folks.
There mm-hmm. you go. All right. We are out of time. John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Kelly,
fired up.
I hadn't picked up on that. Kelly, thank you for being here, too.
Of course. And have a great holiday weekend.
Yes, and listeners, we won't be here tomorrow, which is Friday the 3rd, because we will be celebrating the Independence Day, 4th of July holiday in the United States a little bit early. We're taking a long weekend. So instead of seeing you tomorrow, we will see everyone again next Monday, and thanks for being here.